Welcome to the Sports Chronicle podcast. In this episode, Paddy Rada O'Reilly, bagman for Irish Rugby and the Lions, takes journalist Gavin Cumsey on a tour of Aviva Stadium.
This is where Paul O'Connell changed. Here. Strangely enough, I can actually see him there. I know it's strange, weird, whatever. And then I can hear him as well. It's almost like being a butler team, you know. Because you have to, you know, they're the kings. My name for the team, Ireland, Leinster, New Zealand, the Lions would be the captain and the kings.
Yeah.
It's some of a poem with those words, the captain and the kings.
Simple things, when all are dead who love us, oh, the captains and the kings. When all are dead who love us, oh, the captains and the kings.
There's a wonderful thing, we just did the tour with you there, the tour of the Aviva Stadium, which you do a couple of times a day.
Yeah.
There was a great, it was really enjoyable, but it was good fun. There was a wonderful bit when we got into the change rooms there where you went over and said, this is where Axel and then CJ and Jamie and the number eight. And you got around and you got to number five and you went, this is where Paulie used to sit.
Yeah.
And I can still hear him now.
Mm. Like, it's true.
That was wonderful.
I can hear them all, like, but just pick on him, poor Paulie.
But yeah, I'd say when he spoke in the dressing room, everyone heard him, yeah.
Not necessarily so, you know. Yeah. They keep it a nice level, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be gone out of the change room anyway.
Yeah.
With at least 5 minutes to go. Same with the Lions, etc. And it's really the coach, the head coach and the 15 that's left.
Yeah. Like, you're not about the results end of it. You're about making sure the lads just get there.
Yeah, you know, I'd be watching them during the game, like the shorts, etc.
Yeah.
And the blood, whatever, and all that. And, you know, it's great to win, of course, it's great to win.
Yeah.
But my happiest time when the 2-15s walk off the field after 80 minutes, that's my happiest time.
Yeah. You get to know them very well over the years. But again, we were talking earlier that, of course, they're in a group of lads, so they almost become like kids and they always behave like them sometimes. But there's some great moments, I said, you've had over the years. Like, for example, Peter Clazzy did describe you as the best butler he's ever had. You came very close with a lot of lads, but Claw and Hendo and that gang of lads, because they were early in the...
Trevor, like, and Woody and Brian and Jonathan, like, you know, Connor. There's so many. Like, it's and, you know, eventually you have to let it go.
Yeah.
And follow their career on the television or at the match.
Yeah.
And say our prayer for them and light a candle, etc. Going to games and a chapter closes, another one opens.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I still miss them. Yeah.
These two spots here, gentlemen, these two spots are sort of famous twosome, Mr. Darcy and Mr. O'Driscoll.
How did it all come about? Like, was it Brian O'Brien first that had you in, or how did you go from bagman with Tierney or Leinster and then into Ireland? What was the...
Well, how long have you got?
All day.
You know, when I finished playing up in Tierney College, RFC, I remember standing at the bar one evening, having a pint of Guinness, and standing to my right, and two of the lads, Barry and Paul, and they were coming in next season to be the coach and the manager of the first team.
Mm.
And I was standing there, mind my own business, and they turned around and they said to me, will you be the bagman next season? And I said, yeah. Without any thought or what's a bagman? Because it wasn't really in those days, you know. I mean, I just finished playing and never noticed a bagman. But I said, yeah. And so with that question and answer changed my life completely. Absolutely completely.
Took you all over the world a few times, didn't it?
Took me all over the world. And I did that and I rang a few people, like the bagman, including Jimmy Smith from Leinster, Blackrock, and Gogues from Wesley. And I ploughed into that for 5, 6, 7 years, up and down the country. Young Munster, Gary Owen, Cork On, CIYMS, I think we're in Malone, all these, all over the place.
Yeah.
Black Rock. And that was grand until eventually one day the Leinster under 20s people asked me, would I do the bank for them? And again, on memory, I think the likes of Shane Bourne and Conor O'Shea were on the team.
All right.
Lloyd Woods, all that gang. And I think Munster, Woody was on the Munster team that year, I think. So that was grand. Did that for a couple of years. And then David, the Leinster Bank, senior bankman, who was becoming president of O. Wesley, he had to leave that that gig. And they asked me then, would I be the senior and bankman with the senior team? It was grand. Did that for 2 or 3 years. And then the Irish RFU asked me, through Jerry Murphy, who was the coach, who interviewed me actually in the Burlington Hotel.
How'd that go?
Must have went all right because he got the gig. It would be great for interviews now, you know. And Jerry's a great character. Great character. Da 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 dee. Da 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 dee dee. La da da dee. Da 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 dee 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 dee. Il de Rey.
Yeah.
Come on in here, folks.
I was with Ireland for 21 years.
Yeah.
5 World Cups, etc., etc., etc. And in 09, the British and Irish Lions asked me, would I go to South Africa? And Australia, 13, and then last year.
Was it a case of...
I don't know how, but...
Did a few of the Irish lads put their spoke in about you going, maybe, or something?
Well, like that I don't know.
Because there was an awful lot of them going... Because an awful lot of them had just won a Grand Slam and got the
call. 09 was a great year,
and
because Leinster won the Heineken.
Yeah.
The Grand Slam. And I think Munster won the league.
They did, yeah. They beat Leinster a week after, yeah.
Yeah, and all that. So that was all going on, like, you know, Jesus. I don't know. They possibly did, but... Thank you, gentlemen, if you did.
Was that your favourite?
The latest.
was Cardiff, was it Paddy's Weekend, 2009, Cardiff, was that one of your favourite times to be involved? Or?
Yeah, certainly. Often, the questions you get asked, usually, what I get asked, is, who's your favourite player? Who's your favourite hotel? Your favourite country? Your favourite game?
Et cetera.
Yeah. But that Ronan Slop goal certainly would be way up there.
Yeah.
If not at the top, like, you know. Then, of course, the Lions test victory in Australia.
Yeah.
And indeed the draw in New Zealand. And there's so many Irish games, like Brian's hat-trick in Paris in 2000, I think it was 2000. And Hendo's hat-trick in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Hendo.
Rob Henderson, you were pretty clear.
Yeah. He's coming over in December to do a lunch in the Christmas lunch and auction.
Yeah.
In December in my club. And... Rob has said he'd come over to say a few words, and Trevor said he'd come from Toulouse as well, and the Claw will be there as well. Like, so,
yeah.
I'm slightly concerned about those three bunnies being together, but sure, look, we'll see what happens.
It's funny because when you saw them as young fellas when they were playing club rugby, like Trev and Claw, Marys and young ones, would be killing each other, but it kind of makes sense that they became close, thick as thieves, then, didn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. Jesus, when you think of it, I mean, it's so. So many memories, like
It wasn't because it wasn't your job for them to get them in the frame of mind to play professional rugby, to play rugby. It was your job to kind of let them. It's a place. The Rala's room was a place to come and take it easy. Yeah,
one of the places. Yeah,
and my, to torture you.
My job was to look after them if they wanted a lace or a cup of tea or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But great traditions built up. Like John Hayes used to make the tea in my room, for example.
Yeah.
Provided you had the cup and saucer, spoon, and side plate and knife. John would make the tea and hand you a cup of tea. He loved his tea.
The history of this wall, without boring you too much, we could stand here for 3 hours talking about it. So I know you don't want to do that. So I'll try and narrow it down a little bit. For example, 18, just a bunch of lads from New Zealand played here, 1888. Same year, a team called the British Isles, mainly English, went to Australia and New Zealand. And they were the forerunner of the British and Irish lines. You know the British and Irish lines?
Yeah, of course you do, yeah.
Off they went, anyway. So it's a big year, and unfortunately on that tour, the captain of the British Isles team, one Robert Seddon, who was played flanker for England, he drowned on the River Hunter near Canberra. Would send a few of the lads to Robert's gravesite, where he's buried outside Canberra. And the local rugby club maintained his grave. So that was a sad thing to happen. But 1888, on the tour last year to New Zealand, and all the clothing was since 1888. That's how significant the year was. And the lads themselves, the Lions, as we call them, their own club, it's called the 1888 Club. So very, very important date. Strangely enough, the same year, the poem Invictus was published. Does that ring a bell? Sort of, yeah. Invictus is a Latin word that means unconquerable. It means never give up. Play to the final whistle. Keep going, okay? And it was written by a Victorian poet, William Ernest Henley, who, as a young person, was very ill. Very ill. He lost a leg, actually. And they wanted to take the other leg, but he said, no, I'm going to fight this, which he did. After that, he wrote this poem, Invictus. And Prince Harry, and he holds the Invictus Games. It's for injured lads from the war and that. Invictus was used by many, many great people. But you can use it too. When you go home, get it on the wall. Learn it. Okay? For example, Nelson. When I say Nelson, I mean Nelson Mandela. Nelson, when he was released around 1990, he often quoted the poem to his fellow inmates on Robben Island. Often did it. And when he was released, was coming to the end of apartheid, his main ambition was to unite South Africa. Big, big task. And one of the ways Nelson did it was through rugby. He befriended Francois, he's up there with the microphone, Francois Pienaar, who was the captain of South Africa. And Nelson used to wear his jersey, well, not his plain jersey, his replica one, number 6, to all the games. And together with the team, they tried to bring South Africa together. Yeah. And in fact, they made a film, Invictus. Don't know if you saw it. It was about Nelson Mandela and our friend Francois, whom I had lunch with once some years ago. It's like being sitting beside a god, you know. Amazing. They beat New Zealand in extra time in the final. Drop goal. What was your man's name that got the drop goal? Correct. So that was and Winston Churchill, your lad, he used it in the early 40s when your backs were against the wall with the threat of invasion. And Barack used it, and JFK and Martin Luther King used it. It's a great poem. But coincidentally, around the same time, there was a Victorian travel writer, a poet, and novel writer. His name was Robert Louis Stevenson. You might ring a bell. He wrote Kidnapped, and he wrote Treasure Island. And the character, he befriended the poet. They were friends. And the character, Long John Silver, was based on William Ernest. He told him, by the way, you're in my book, you're Long John Silver. They were great mates, you know. In the end, Robert Louis emigrated to Manu, Samoa. That means beautiful Samoa, for health reasons. And actually, he passed away there, obviously. And Rala was lucky enough to go to his gravesite in Samoa, even. So 1888. I think the same year, the poem, I can be corrected here, I will arise and go now and go to Inish free. I think that poem was published also that year, Nothing to do with rugby now, anything like that. But just sort of throw that in, you know.
You have great memories, but like there is tough times over the years because they lose and they kind of end up. But like these are also great experiences and great memories. You know what I mean? Because you lose and win.
The worst thing is to get hurt, you know, to get injured. That's yeah. Especially if they have to give up the game.
Yeah.
That's the worst time.
Yeah.
That is the worst time.
It was funny in your book you described going being in the Gay Theatre one night and talking to an actress about how for 6-7 weeks they put on a play. And they're together and they become like family. And then the run ends. And they might see each other again or they might see each other a year later.
And so be it.
You said it was very like, it's exactly the same as the rugby
squad. It's even in the management team. You know, we're sitting around the table with maybe 14, 15 people. Indeed, the first management meeting I was at, there was only 3 people at it. Oh, yeah. Now it's 15, 16, 17. And you sort of, I used to look around, slightly, I suppose, sentimental. I look around and God, I hope they're all here next season. Sometimes it doesn't happen, like they leave for whatever reason, you know, like Taints or kicking coach or whatever, like they leave, you know, all the doctors, Gary O'Driscoll, Mick from Limerick and all that, you know, so I always felt that a bit sad about it. Then you got the new champion, he's equally as good, like, you know.
Yeah.
But still, you miss the people, you know.
Did you expect to... Did you ever plan to travel, or had you done much travelling yourself? Because you have been around the world 10 times with this. Over 20 years.
No, I wasn't a great traveller. Like, you know, my favourite place is Ireland. It's my favourite country in the world. And the West and, you know, West Cork and Kerry and all these places. Yeah, Wicklow, indeed. Everywhere I love in Ireland, you know.
Yeah. Tell us about Inish Boffin, will you?
Oh, Inish Boffin, yeah.
Because was it like in the late 70s you start going there? Was it with Dixie?
Yeah, and Dixie,
Did it? It's had a pull on you ever since, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's the people, really, you know. It's a place that's beautiful, like, you know, Inish Tork as well.
Yeah.
And they're next door neighbours, yeah. But we were going on a tour, as I termed it, a tour of Connemara. Like the grand tour, you know, the way like the aristocrats used to go to Italy.
Yeah.
In the 18th century or whatever, but mine was to Connemara, and I loved Connemara before I got there because I read a lot of books on it.
Okay, yeah.
Like Padraig O'Connor and Liam O'Flaherty, John Singh, etc. The Playboy, and so I felt I had some sort of a draw to Connemara. You know, the little stone walls and the greyness of it and the beauty of the forest. And a lot of people think Connemara is sort of rocks. It's not. It's this, you know, lakes and trees, everything, like the Connemara National Park. But anyway, so I met a friend prior to the tour, and he said to me, "Where are you going for your holidays?" I said, "I'm going to the West. I'm going to Connemara." He said, "If you come across a place called Inish Boffin, go over and have a look at it. It's an island."
Yeah.
And his group, the Diving Club of Ireland, they used to visit Connemara because of the island because of the clear waters for diving. I said, okay. They never gave it much of a thought after that. And then we were going into Clifton, and there's a sign that says Inish Boffin that way. And Dixie said, "There's a sign for Inish Boffin." At the Cleggan, jumped on the boat, weather was gorgeous.
Could you bring the car over on the boat back then?
No,
you had to leave it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't need a car in Boffin.
No.
And so off we went anyway, and it was glorious weather, somewhat like this summer. And we were for one night, and we stayed for 5 or 6 nights.
Yeah.
And that's how the Boffin started.
And you go back every year?
Oh, yeah. Once or twice, at least. Yeah. Right. The people, the friends, and Willie, the gang.
You have a similar connection with Renville House Hotel, don't you?
Yeah, Renville House, Vincent there, a good friend of ours, became manager there, and we had previously been in New York, and we met this lovely man, Michael Joe, from Renville, and he said, "If you're ever passing through, give us a shout, you know," and which came to pass because of Vincent being the manager at the hotel, and That's how it kick-started the whole Renville thing. And we've become great friends of the Ruddy family, Michael Joe's family, as a result. and very attached to Renbyre House.
Yeah.
And the people therein.
You and Dixie still thick as thieves when you go off travelling together. But the one thing I noticed, but the tough thing about going on tours and all that is you are away from rugby yeah. tours are 2 months away from...
Yeah.
Wait, like you can't even go down to Camden Street for a coffee. I always miss something like that when you're yeah. gone for 2 months. What, is well, that, do you feel that? Or
absolutely. The people who make the sacrifice on tours is the people you leave behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without doubt.
Yeah, because you're living ones, the high... It is a great experience.
They're the ones doing. That should be getting the Unsung Hero Awards. It's the families, wives, girlfriends, whatever, children. They're the ones.
Yeah,
because it's a great sacrifice, Rala, isn't it?
Oh, it's
a, like I would talking about to me and you, but like I'm talking about the players as well. Like they really, they some of young families.
Well, for everybody,
and,
actually,
they're
everybody.
Making a good living and all that. But it's still hard, isn't it, to have to leave all that behind and go on a 10-week line.
Oh, without doubt, yeah, without doubt.
And they come back without battered doubt. Up and everything.
Without doubt, but that's what makes them so special.
Yeah. Is there any kind of special things you've ever seen come into camp? I know Christy Moore's come in a lot over the years.
Yeah,
and you'd be a big fan of his and all that. Or
how, oh, yeah. Like
how do those
most
things
of Ireland, or all of Ireland, yeah.
yeah. But having him coming in and playing to like the 50s or everything, has that been some special nights like that?
Very. Christy comes in and he's sitting there, like, and especially the new guys in the camp
yeah.
who may not have, they would have known about Christy and heard his music, but to actually be 2 yards from him is a special thrill and privilege.
In the last game in that season, 48, they beat Wales 6-3 to win the Grand Slam. In those times, it was no Italy, just France and the four lads. Now it's Italy since 2000. Next time they won it was 2009, with Roland's famous rock goal in Cardiff. And then the next time they won it was this year, with Jonathan's favourite. Famous drop goal in Paris. History.
So how did it come about with Christy coming in anyway?
Well, funny enough, strangely enough, out there in a field there.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, I was on the field with David Humphreys.
All right, yeah.
And he was kicking. I was thrown out, miles back to him. As a bagman would.
Yeah.
And Donal Lennon was standing there with this man, Ian, this man. And I was down that end, and Donal roared over, "Rada, come over here." So I ran over. And I said, "Yes, Donal." I said, "I want you to meet Christy Moore, that you're always going on about." I said, "Oh, Jesus, Christy." Really fainted, you know. So I immediately broke into the West Coast of Clare, the song.
You did?
Yeah. And Christy was kind enough to join in. Sorrow and sadness. Sorrow and sadness. Bitter and sweet. My mind is going back to the west coast of Clare. Ting. Oh, Jesus. Oh, sorry. But anyway, I sort of scrambled through that number. And Christy said to me, I can still hear him, he said. There's only one thing wrong with that now, Rada. I don't sing that song.
Oh, yeah.
He said, that's Andy Irvine sings that.
Oh, Andy Irvine,
talk about putting your foot into.
But you kind of become pals with him then a little bit, like, yeah?
Sort of, yeah. But, like, I mean, he's a legend, so, you know, he's a very kind man.
Yeah. You know? What kind of relationships did you have with, and again, because I know you describe yourself as a butler, but, like, with the likes of Eddie O'Sullivan and Decky and Joe, you know? Like,
yeah.
These three coaches.
Well,
that
pretty simple. I was
and involved. Warren actually was there as well.
Warren was there, yeah, and a few more, Murray Kidd and Brian Ashton. Yeah, I have 8 or 9 coaches that I was worked under, so to speak.
Yeah,
and you treat every one of them with respect, and you try to do your best for them.
Yeah,
sometimes it doesn't always work, but they're good people, and they keep me on the track anyway. And every one of them is different. Everyone that brings something different to the table.
Yeah.
I've never yet met two people the same. Even identical twins differ.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're great. Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Mm. I remember years ago, Declan used to say to me, he used to say, "Rada, we're only a spoke in a big wheel."
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you're right. And with that in mind, I got hold of a bicycle wheel and I crept into his room one day, and I put the bicycle wheel under his sheets and left. And the next day, he said, "Rala, come here, I'll kill you."
It's like the Godfather, is it?
Fucking wheel was in his bed.
I remember
that's
again.
That's a true story, by the
way. I was reading in your book that you got on really well with Joe Schmidt. He impressed you straight away.
Oh,
then you spent like years with him. Then like what?
Many years.
Because we're sitting in the box now. That Joe. This is where Joe does his business. From
great honour to be here. Actually,
it's kind of cool, isn't it?
I can almost hear them. Yeah. That Joe was great. Yeah.
Yeah. He's revolutionised the whole thing, isn't he?
Oh yeah. He's, you know, everybody, as I said, brings something different to the table, and Joe is a master. He's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he stays here forever and a day.
Do you feel like you always kind of had to get to know the individuals? As you always talk about that everyone's different and all, because each people might want different little things.
That's right.
Like I remember, I think it was Claw and all the lads were talking about like there'd be like certain razor blades there for a guy so he can shave after a match and all that.
Everybody's different. Like
you pride mean, yourself in knowing what each person needs.
Yeah, well, like I mean, you take the lines for example. Like you know, it was great being like kicked out in South Africa. Like and then some of those guys would be on the next tour, you know.
Yeah.
But some of them would be new guys, you know. So you've only a small window to get acclimatise yourself with them. So it's a question of, you know, getting close to them as soon as you can.
Mm.
And yes, you can go up and sit in their lap like, you know what do you like? Yeah. Sort of study it and find out, you know. I remember once in Barrow, Russia, you know, one of the lads, like Charlie, I won't mention his name now, before a match. And I used to leave a small packet of Vero Russia.
Ferrero Russia,
spot like beside his shorts. And one of the fitness guys copped that one day before a match. He said, "Rala, I'm trying to get him fit and you're feeding him chocolate. You know, you can't do that, Rala."
Yeah.
You know.
It sounds like you had the time of life. But was your last gig with Ireland the 2015 World Cup?
Yeah.
What do you remember of it? Obviously, then it was brilliant, and then there was that disastrous last week. But it was an amazing.
Yeah, I was brokenhearted for the players.
Of course, yeah.
Not for me, for the players.
Yeah.
And the country.
Yeah.
And it really was. And what I say, I enjoyed the UK. It was great, and they organised it very well. The English people, rugby people, and the volunteers, etc. They were brilliant, you know. But that game, killed me. Yeah. That game killed me, but
did you think you were finished then? And then the Lions came along.
Oh yeah,
were you surprised that the Lions came along last year?
Oh, like? Yeah, jeez, that was amazing. Yeah. I had absolutely no idea until Warren rang me. Yeah,
I was Warren.
I couldn't believe it. You know, Jesus. Lucky enough, I was parked at the time.
Yeah,
I wasn't driving. You know.
What did he say to you?
He said, "Would you be up for another tour?"
Did you say yes straight away? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What's it like going around New Zealand?
Well, New Zealand
is... You've done it a few times.
I did. New Zealand is the most beautiful country you could be in. It really is. Any time I've been there is in the winter.
Yeah.
Like June, July. And I have to say, the last July, that June, it wasn't too bad at all. You know, I can only remember one big rainstorm in Dunedin. But it's a glorious country. I can only imagine what it's like in the summertime.
Yeah, because you're always gone in the winter because of the way rugby works.
The people, and the coffee, extremely nice.
The coffee's great, isn't it? Mm. Was it always good, was it?
Mm.
I didn't know that. So you've hung out a lot with Jamie Heasley and Keane Healy over the years as well.
Oh, geez,
they kind of almost came after the next wave.
Yeah, they're the next. They're the next boat. Yeah.
You got very close with them, yeah. Because
yeah,
I was nagging Jamie. What should I ask him today?
They usually roomed near me, you know, so they could annoy me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then it worked both ways because they used to make the nice coffee.
The two boys are loving that stuff.
All these little machines, silver yolks, they used to this, that, and the other. They are la la, they'd say. Trip upon your magic swirling ship. Oh, my senses have been stripped, my feet in them to grip. I'm waiting to get anywhere.
Like, is there any kind of moments that's kind of sit out with you that you'll always kind of, you always go back and laugh at? Or is there a couple of moments when you were just on the road over the years?
There was one, I used to call Dennis, Shane and Brian the Golden Triangle.
Yeah.
Their names were all different things. Like,
Dennis Hickey, Shane Horgan and Driscoll,
Brian, and they were up, they always came and drifted in late. to do their boots.
All right.
Be always last into the room, like 10, half 10, whatever. And they were chatting away there, doing their things. I was minding my own business, you know. Something came up about immigration, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was, what about you, Rala? Did you ever? I said, oh, yeah, I had to go to England when I left school. And, you know, it was hard times, lads. Not like today, like, you know. And they said then to me, and how long were there, Rala, you know? I said, about 2 weeks. And they actually fell on the ground laughing. And I was being serious, like, you know. 2 weeks. You ask ever come across Brian, he'd tell you that story better than I would. And the guy I was working for, the builder from Tipperary, very nice man. He said, when I went to get the wages, they called it, he says, now he says, Petty, he says, and there's your wages, and there's another little envelope for you, it's your fare home.
He said you weren't to be doing it.
You want to take my advice? Get on the next boat. Back to Ireland. I said, you know what, you're right. Thank you.
It wasn't for you?
No.
It's a tough old life.
Well, we never know now, like, but...
Yeah.
But the lads, I can still see them laughing their heads off.
What's your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement was probably being a reasonable back person. For all the teams that I was with, that includes Argentina, by the way, we were with them for one match.
Mm. What was that about Argentina?
Yeah, you see. 1999, I was assigned to Argentina for their World Cup match against France.
Here. Oh, because Ireland were out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So it was just, I hope I, you know, what's the question again?
What was your greatest achievement? But we
well, don't. Hopefully being, you know, as I say, not a bad bagman, you know.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. What was the one with that? You just had them for the week, did you?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Wasn't my favourite week ever.
No?
No.
Was it?
I felt a bit odd-ish.
You know? Had you been with the Irish team?
Yeah. We just got beaten in Lens the night before.
Did you switch on? You switched on to the Pumas the next day, did you? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I know.
It was a bit awkward, was it?
A little bit.
Did you at least get to know Felipe Contepomi or any of the lads that week?
No.
No, just...
I don't think Philip was there, was he?
Yeah, yeah.
99, was he?
I think he was, yeah.
Was he? Oh, Jesus.
But
I did remember meeting Fafa. He was sort of the bagman Argentina.
Yeah.
Fafa.
Okay, yeah. That was the only... so you've done the Pumas, the Lions and Ireland and Terenure and Leinster.
Yeah.
Ever done anyone else, no?
No.
Fair enough. What's your favourite pastime... Or forget about money now, favourite pastime or occupation?
Well, I love reading. I like the telly. I like sitting in Paddy Coyne's pub in Tully Cross having a pint of Guinness, or in Doonmore having a pint of Guinness, or the beach having a pint of Guinness, or in Devis having a pint of Guinness, and Cavanagh's sisters having a pint of Guinness. Yeah.
You hadn't been sitting at that bar in Terenure that night when they said to you, will you do Bagman? Where else? What else would have happened? On the sliding doors, Brian, where do you think you would have ended up?
God only knows, as the Beach Boys once sang. God only knows.